Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus, that as you received from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to control your own body in holiness and honor, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things. God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Now, who is this Paul that he dares to tell me how I should live and to judge without considering my situation or context and to do it so strictly? And why should anyone care what he said after so many centuries have passed? Surely I should disregard him. And many do. But that is why verse 8 cannot be left out. Whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, the same God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. In fact, it's become a lot harder to say that St. Paul is from a different time. Our advanced 21st century society is only just now returning to the sort of accepted debauchery which was common in the first century when Paul wrote. It was very nearly our context exactly, in which he told the Thessalonian Christians to flee sexual immorality. He told them to believe and to live differently than those around them, not to be ashamed when everybody else despised them because of it. And he writes that they should continue to walk properly and to please God more and more, as they were already doing. And yet he writes it a bit sternly, as if he might have known that maybe they weren't. And he tells us the reason for it plainly also. This is the will of God. His will is that husband and wife be so fully joined to one another that no one else come between them. His will is that our bodies and our marriage beds be kept pure, not just during, but also before marriage. That we learn to have self-control and not to be brutish beasts and animals, even if our mad world insists that we are nothing better than animals, and so accordingly encourages us to act like beasts. No, each of us is to control our bodies, or as the Greek puts it rather vividly, to be in possession of your own vessel. And as Hebrews 13 says, let the marriage bed be kept pure and held in honor among all. This means that it is a public matter. It's not a private one, what two consenting adults do with their bodies. Marriage is to make that absolutely clear to us. Children that come along also make that absolutely clear. And so Paul adds, let no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter. Now, perhaps non-Christians, whoever happens to tune in, will not care about offending God or each other. But we are different. We love God, whom we have not seen. And we do it also by loving the brothers whom we do see. It is a destructive influence to our fellow Christians, married or unmarried, when someone, whether they are young or old, does not possess his or her vessel in honor and holiness, or implies by their actions to everyone else that doing that does not matter. And those who disregard this solemn warning are not being noble. They are not overcoming centuries of religious hang-up. They're only giving in to two millennia of paganism or more. They are not standing up to a bully pastor or a bully apostle like Paul, but they are falling. Just like Adam and Eve, they are disregarding and they are rejecting God. And He is the one who gives His Holy Spirit. That is a potent phrase there. The Lord gave you and me the Holy Spirit in your baptism. By His Word, He continues to impart His Holy Spirit to you. And when you resist His work, if you tell Him to be quiet, then you are also saying no to His salvation. You are searing your conscience against God's Word so that it will no longer affect or bother you anymore. And that only leads to one result. Searing your heart likewise against the forgiveness of sins, the very sins that you are refusing to give up. Lord, have mercy on us. Because this is not God's will, your damnation, never. He's invested blood in you. His will is to have you, and to have you as a holy and a precious bride for Himself. Thus, when St. Paul reminds us again today with such a solemn warning that we must not disregard God's commandments as if they were just man's opinions, he asks and he urges us in the Lord Jesus as brothers called by God in holiness. He addresses us not as enemies, but as those baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He reminds us of what our baptism indicates, that the old Adam in us by daily contrition and repentance is to be drowned and to die with all sins and evil desires, and that the new man daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity. Now, nothing could be more relevant to us now. Because where else, as we all have seen, where else will you find comfort for your troubled or burdened or assaulted conscience in this world? Where can you find a place where shame will be removed instead of magnified or blasted for everyone to see in this world? Where can we find aid against more of this rot and this mess? Only, as we sang, in the holy wounds of Jesus. Only from the Spirit's work, the one whom He gives in the Word, in the absolution, which constantly return us to those great and precious promises of baptism. Finally, then, brothers, I ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you have heard how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. Because this is the will of God, not the impurity that stains both this life and the next, but sanctification, holiness, which comes from Christ Jesus and, thanks be to God, which lasts to eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the congregations of the Central Illinois District and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for Michael and Nancy Jane Maurizio, who serve the Lord in Italy. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.